Okay, I'd like to call this meeting of the House Resources Committee to order. We are in Capitol Room 124. It is April 1st, 2024. Members present are Representative Sadler, Representative Wright, Representative Baker, Representative Rauscher, Representative McCabe, Representative Armstrong, and Representative Mears, and myself, Chair Tom McKay. I'd like to welcome everyone back after the Easter holiday. And we have Representative Groh in the audience. I'd like to thank the staff, Justin, Zach, and Rose, for helping us run the meeting today. And a reminder to everyone to please put your cell phones on silent. We have one item on today's agenda, House Bill 349, Renewable Energy Project Leases. This is the third hearing in House Resources today to hopefully adopt a committee substitute. We are pushing back today's initial hearings on House Bill 393 and House Bill 394 to Wednesday, when all of our invited testifiers will be available. So without further ado, our first task today, House Bill 349, Renewable Energy Project Leases. We'll bring this bill back before the committee. This bill is sponsored by Representative Groh. This will be the bill's third hearing in House Resources, and today I would like to adopt the committee substitute and tend to a couple of other tasks on this bill. So, Mr. Vice Chair, do you have a motion?
Yes. Thank you, Chair McKay. I move to adopt committee substitute for House Bill number 349 RES, also referred to as 33-LS1325/R.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Is there an objection? Hearing none, the committee substitute for House Bill 349 Resources, also referred to as 33-LS1325/R, has been adopted as the working document. Yes. So, at the request of the sponsor, Representative Groh, instead of a summary of changes, Representative Groh's office would like to present a new sectional to the committee on the committee substitute, as it represents a significant overhaul to the original version of the bill. So, I would like to invite Representative Groh and his staff, Cameron Ebersold, forward to the table. Please put your name on the record and go over the sectional. We also have Chris Hess, Deputy Director of Mining, Land, and Water, on the line from the Department of Natural Resources to answer any questions committee members may have. So, Representative Sadler's question.
Before we begin, I just want to make sure I have the proper document of the changes. I guess through the chair, Representative Groh, is it sectional analysis of proposed CS for House Bill 349 Resources? Is that the document we'll be working from?
Yes.
Yeah, this one here.
Right?
Yes.
It doesn't say what exact version, so I'll confirm.
Yep, the chair. Thank you.
Oh, Mike.
Yeah, pull the mic up, please, Mr. Groh.
Through the chair, this Representative Sadler, correct, yes.
Thank you.
Okay, please proceed, Representative Groh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee for hearing the bill again. I really appreciate the cooperation of the chair and the committee staff. We've done some work. We worked with Department of Natural Resources and thought through this. And I'm going to let the go through the more detail and have the more detailed discussion led by my chief of staff, Mr. Cameron Ebersold.
Cameron Ebersold, through the chair. Representative Groh summarized it pretty accurately in the sense that there's no need to do an exact line-by-line comparison between these two versions of the bill, since it's a pretty fundamental difference between them. In summary, the intent of the bill has not changed. The original intent and was and remains to be that the this is creating parity in terms of how the state addresses and handles different these energy projects. What we found when working with the department since the introduction of the bill is that there was a better model for how to accomplish this. And this new model is based around a section of statute that we have for oil and gas licenses and leases, which has work commitments for when you apply for these licenses, and then long-term, these then get to transition into leases as well.
All right.
I think you perhaps you could go through the section and discuss it with the committee's chair, chair's permission.
Is the would you like to read the sectional, Cameron Ebersold, staff to Representative Grove?
Yes. Through the chair, Cameron Ebersold again. The first three sections of this new document are conforming changes based on changes to the language. Section four is realistically the meat of the of this new model. The four section four enacts four new sections under the Alaska Lands Act, 091 to 094, which creates a licensing and leasing structure that's analogous to a process found in AS 3805-131 to 134, which that section is oil and gas explorations, license and leases. That section of statute basically. AS 3805-091 provides the provisions and authorities to the department to offer feasibility leases, requires the commissioner to do research, and make some preliminary written determinations about which portions of state land might be subject to these provisions, and that these determinations will be given public notice. Provides the commissioner with the authority to adopt necessary regulations to implement licensing, and sets a maximum acreage that any licensee may hold at any time. AS 3805-092 would issue that the DNR commissioner may issue feasibility licenses to encourage energy production on state-owned land. These licenses give the licensee the exclusive right to explore the surface of state on state land and evaluate that land's potential for renewable energy project. The term of this license cannot exceed 10 years. A feasibility license must be conditioned on an obligation to perform a specified work commitment and make progress towards this work commitment on certain intervals during the life of the license, post a bond or some other security that's acceptable to the commissioner, and this would be subject to annual review. The commissioner may terminate the license early if the licensee has not made sufficient progress on their work commitment. It provides the option to convert the license for all or part of the state land for renewable energy project upon fulfillment of the work commitments, and this would not apply if the lease is terminated. And it provides that the land and water within this area subject to the feasibility license must, to the extent practicable, remain open to the public for hunting, fishing, and other generally allowable uses, and to mineral exploration and development. The next new section contains the procedures to issue a feasibility license. Process may be initiated by either the commissioner or an interested party. The commissioner initiates the licensing process. They will publish public notice of the commissioner's proposal in order to solicit comments and competing proposals. Within 30 days after receiving a proposal, the commissioner shall either reject the proposal in a written decision or give public notice of the intent to evaluate the acceptability of the proposal. The commissioner shall solicit comments on the proposal. The commissioner must issue a written finding, including any modifications to the proposal necessary to make this license conform with the best interests of the state. This would also contain provisions for soliciting a competitive bid in the event that there are multiple interested parties. And this last section outlines how this license then converts into a lease at the end of the lease, the license term, in order so that way they may continue to develop. And the rest of the sections are conforming changes, adding a definition of what a renewable energy project is, and then provides for an immediate effective date.
Okay, I'm going to take a brief at ease. I don't. Okay, calling the House Resources Committee back to order. We just want to make sure that everyone had the updated sectional analysis. So, are there any questions on the sectional from committee members? And I have a note here to ask Representative Groh and Cameron to explain the title change for the record. Apparently, there's been a title change.
Heard it, Mr. Eversole.
Through the chair, in the previous version of the bill, it was I had no references to licenses, and the title now, I believe, makes references to licenses, as that was again, that is part of the benefit of this new version, is that this is now a licensing into leasing procedure, like we have for oil and gas, as opposed to a purely leasing procedure.
No. Okay, are there any, Representative Sadler?
Yeah, I've got a question. Through the chair, Representative Groh, it's not specifically on the document of the change documents, but on page 6 of the CS we just adopted, page 6, line 28, it basically says a feasibility license can cover a half million acres. Now, I understand your intent is to try and make renewable energy project leases and licenses analogous to oil and gas, but my understanding is oil and gas leases are large because they have to cover the possibility of having pore spaces that might be vastly extending. I don't see a renewable energy project as requiring 500,000 acres. Is that number taken directly from the oil and gas sections, or is there a reason why that much land should be tied up in a feasibility license for renewable energy?
Representative Cliff, representing House District 18, I'm going to let my chief of staff, Cameron Eversole, take a shot at this.
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, that's correct. That was taken directly from this oil and gas, the language for oil and gas. There's specific language where even in the process of this feasibility license, they have to they pay by the acre, and so whoever is going into this business agreement with the state, they would have to be weighing the pros and cons of how many acres do we want to license for the sake of exploring. And sure, there's going to be individual considerations in terms of that, but even so, when you if you're potentially licensing a piece of land and exploring or determining feasibility, you are likely going to be obtaining licensing and determining feasibility on a much larger section, and then paring down based on, again, where does it make sense to, for example, put turbines, or where does it make sense to again, how does it make sense to utilize this this land in a way that's economically feasible? And so whether or not that is the specific correct number for renewable projects is, I think, a good question. But I also think that considering that we don't know the specifics right now, the intention is to, mirror what we have and let and we can evaluate in later years to see if that needs to be changed.
Okay. You follow up?
A follow-up, Representative Sadler.
Because I, through the chair, Representative Groh, because I don't have much experience with the size and scope of renewable energy projects, can you give us any information as to how big a, for lack of a better word, typical or average renewable energy facility might be?
They vary in size. I think Mr. Eversole has some more information about that.
Through the chair, I wouldn't say I have more information, but I just think that it would really depend on what kind of project. And again, the size of the project could be different projects would have different sizes depending on their ambition, I guess.
Representative Sadler.
So just for example, obviously there'll be different sizes for different kinds. What's the largest? What's the smallest? Give me some example. What's a solar panel of a project go for in terms of size, or a windmill project? I have no basis for knowing. So, yes, of course, relative, some would be bigger, some would be smaller, but I don't deal with the absolute size of any of them.
What I can offer is I believe currently right now the largest renewable project in the state, I believe, occupies somewhere less than 10,000 acres, but I couldn't tell you specifically I could not tell you specifically, and we can look more into that and get back to the committee with more information.
And if you know that one, I'd appreciate knowing which one that is, but I would look for more information.
I have a, through the chair, I do not want to speak incorrectly on the record about what that is, so I will get more information.
Thank you, Chair.
Representative Mears has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, to Representative Sadler, to provide a little bit more clarity from some of my experience, I was fortunately on a road trip with my son this summer, and there were definitely some places we went through where there were wind turbines everywhere the eye could see. And it turned dark, and then there were flashing red lights everywhere that I could see. So they're now in the lower 48. So they can certainly span vast expanses of land. I think the size option for particularly wind projects would be important because you're not only evaluating where you're getting wind in different spots, but also your transmission from that. So it's like where you can efficiently place your turbines, and then you'd be able to have the transmission system and utility roads and things from that. So I can really foresee, particularly a project like that, where a larger swath of land you'd want to be evaluating for. But project economics on the license seems like a determining factor. And then that gives you your scale of your project and then your feasibility and then execution and gets the energy we all need. Thank you.
Representative Baker had a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, through the chair. Just concerning feasibility licenses, what are the benchmarks for progress over the 10 years of the lifespan of the lease? How do we know that work's been done?
There's some language about work commitments that Mr. Ebersole can explain better, hear more fully.
Well, the language as it has right now is, again, are you wondering, I guess, are you trying to figure out, again, how does the department evaluate whether they're making progress? Or, again, how are we, again, measuring that?
Through the chair, a bit of both. I mean, you're talking about a feasibility. That means nothing's technically happening. You're not putting up a project. You're not standing up a solar farm, a wind farm. But you're evaluating a space over X amount of time to determine whether that would be the right spot for whatever the renewable would be. What are those benchmarks to say we've spent the last 10 years, we've leased this land, you couldn't do anything else with it? This is how we're able to determine that it's going to work for XYZ.
Okay. Representative Baker, through the chair, that is that's basically part of the definition of this work commitment. A work commitment in the oil and gas licenses process is basically, again, it expressed in dollar amounts. What work are you going to be doing in the process of determining whether or not there is in fact a viable project here? And again, if for oil and gas, that could be something like a seismic study, anything that you would be doing, but again, expressed in dollar amounts. And so, are you in fact, when they determine making progress, there's part of this process is that I think at two years and then again at 4 years, you have to, again, it said made progress. And that basically means, have you actually spent the money to do these things that you've committed to doing? And the state can then use that to actually, again, to make that assessment. In terms of how they specifically make that assessment, that I think is a better question for the department.
Follow up? Yes, Representative Baker, follow up. And we do have... let's see, who did I say? Ms. Wells online.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So just thank you for that, Mr. Ebersole. Just following up. For example, back home in Coxview, I serve as the land manager for our local ANCSA Corporation, our village corporation. And one of the things that we do is we do lease land to, one, our local co-op, which provides diesel-generated electricity as well as solar and wind power. And there have been other ICER, the university, different aspects and attempts to do feasibility studies in other areas around the community to see if it would be viable to stand up a solar panel in a specific area to see if this spot on this hill gets X amount of sunlight over the course of a year versus this spot. So is that worked out? I appreciate you mentioning the seismic data because that shows a tangible product Whereas this, you're in the long term setting up monitors, you're setting up things to determine whether there is a viable spot in for consistent power production, if that makes sense. So I guess the basis of the question is, what are those benchmarks, and are they clearly defined for a solar project, a wind project, a hydro, whatever it might be?
Representative Groh, I do think it would be useful to ask, then, as Mr. Ebersole suggested, ask the Department of Natural Resources about that.
Okay. Ms. Hess, I'm sorry, are you online? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. For the record, this is Chris Hess, Deputy Director with the Division of Mining, Land and Water, Department of Natural Resources. And through the chair, Representative Baker, what would happen in this situation is when the applicant submitted a request to do a feasibility study, they would line out how they would approach or how they would advance that project, what studies they would conduct, what type of projects, and how much money they would spend over the course of their estimated feasibility study. So they would have approximately 10 years to complete a feasibility study. They might be able to get it done in 5 years. And the way that we would assess whether or not they were meeting their goals is to go back and to look at what they submitted in terms of the feasibility study and make sure that that is actually happening on the ground or at the location that they said and that they were completed or at least, you know, 50% of the way, 25% of the way. And again, it would be based upon the submittal for that project that we would receive from the applicant as to how we would determine whether or not they were meeting the components of that requirement.
Ms. Hess, did you, this is Chair McKay, did you say a 10-year feasibility study? That seems like a long time to... Okay, just seems a long time to study something, 10 years.
Chair McKay, you're right. That is a long term. You know, that's right now what is envisioned, say, in oil and gas. We wouldn't necessarily authorize that long of a study, but we want the flexibility to determine based upon what the applicant has provided to us and what their project is, what they're looking at, and what they're intending to do, and how long it intends to take for that project to determine whether the location they selected is truly feasible or not. We've been approached by several different entities looking at things such as wind projects, wind farms, and they've said a feasibility, sometimes it could take longer depending on the large acreage that they would have. Sometimes it might take a shorter amount of time to determine whether or not that project is truly feasible on state land. But it would all depend on the application that we receive.
So I have a question. I understand there's a project called Shovel Creek up near Fairbanks. Is that on state land or private land? Does anyone know the answer to that?
Representative McCabe, Chair McCabe, yes, that is on state land.
So is this does the Shovel Creek project need this legislation to proceed?
Representative McKay, no, it does not need this authorization. These are for larger acreages than the Shovel Creek project that is currently in the process, in the adjudication process.
And that's a wind, Shovel Creek's a wind farm, I understand. Proposed wind farm.
Correct.
How many acres do you have?
So the acreage is not as big as what this proposed legislation would allow us to have tools in our toolbox.
So, Ms. Hess, do you happen to know how many acres the proposed Shovel Creek project is?
Representative McKay, off the top of my head, I do not, but it is less than 640 acres.
Okay, and there is regulations and legislation in place to regulate Shovel Creek now?
Representative McKay, yes, there is. Because they are looking for a lease, this proposed legislation is first for a license during the exploration portion of the project, and then if they determine during that feasibility study in which they have a license, an exploration type of license, if they determine that it is feasible in that location, then they would look to convert it to a lease. For Shovel Creek, that is just currently a lease area. It did not need a license or feasibility in that project.
Interesting. Maybe you could send us the statute that, or statutes that govern the Shovel Creek project when you have a chance. And now I'll turn it over to Representative Rauscher has a question.
Yeah, thank you, through the chair. I was just wondering, would a project like the dam, this is sitting in the dam, would that qualify underneath the acreage limit?
For the record, this is Chris Hess, Deputy Director of the Division of Mining, Land, and Water. Through the chair, Representative Rauscher. So if, for example, a Vakutna, if a new hydroelectric project was coming in and they wanted to determine that the location of that project, whether or not it was feasible to build a dam in that location, they would use this legislation, assuming it passes, to first determine the feasibility of the location that they selected on state land. And then if that project determines that it is feasible on state land, then they would look to convert it to a lease. In the Aklutna Dam situation, that is a little bit different than what this type of legislation would deal with, although it could deal with hydroelectric projects.
Representative Rauscher, your follow-up.
Yeah, actually, we're talking about Wantana here.
I misunderstood you. Wantana. With regard to the Susitna-Wantana project, through the chair, Representative Rauscher, that project has already been evaluated and the location has been evaluated. So it would not need this proposed legislation to assist it in moving forward. There are other complications with the Susitna-Wantana project that are currently preventing it from moving forward on land, state-selected land.
Follow-up, Representative Rauscher.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm just trying to understand the scope of what the limitation on acreage is here. So if we had another project, not Wantana, but the size of Wantana, would that be qualified underneath the feasibility limitations here?
Through the chair, Representative Rauscher, if they needed that type of acreage, yes, that could be considered under this type of legislation.
Thank you.
Okay, maybe we can get an answer to that question later, Ms. Hess. Any other sure. Representative Sadler? Thank
you. Yeah, through the chair, hey Chris, Ms. Hess. This kind of reminds me of the when they expanded to cover leases and exploration licenses, convert leases for geothermal. So this kind of rings some bells. I got a couple questions. First off, is there any limitation on the number of such leases any one party could obtain under this bill? How many half-million acre hunks could somebody reasonably expect to lease? Certainly, of course, their financial resources and their work plan would have some limitations, but is there anything preventing somebody from leasing, getting the feasibility leases on more than one half-million acre parcel of state land?
For the record, this is Chris Hess, Deputy Director for the Division of Mining, Land, and Water. Through the chair, Representative Stadler, if an applicant came forward with a project and they wanted to do a feasibility study at one time, they could hold only hold so much licenses for up to 2 million acres max. So if they had a project for 1 million acres and then a second feasibility project for 500,000 acres, they could not come forward with a third project for another 1 million acres because that would exceed the 2 million acreage limitation.
Very good. Follow up, different topic.
Follow up, Representative Sadler.
Sure, and this may be actually for, for Chris. Ms. Hess, following up on the chair's question about preclusion of Shovel Creek, does current state law or regulations preclude leasing state lands for renewable energy projects? I'll stipulate this might benefit or make it easier, but is there anything in state law that precludes them from happening?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, no, there is nothing right now that prevents us from leasing land for renewable projects. We are limited, though, in the amount of acreage that we can authorize because a lease is considered a disposal, and they usually get the exclusive use of that acreage. It's not open to multiple use, and so therefore it's limited to 640 acres. Because of the limitation against multiple use under our current authority. This proposed legislation talks about keeping the land open to the greatest extent possible to those other uses, generally allowed uses, whereas currently under statute and regs, we do not have that for a lease situation such as Shovel Creek.
Follow up, Representative Sadler.
Following through the chair, Chris, Ms. Kess. So my question would be, are there any places that you know of in Alaska where state land is subject to leases for feasibility leases that are currently occupying state land that are currently in the 10-year window? Just help us understand how the current provisions for such exploration leases currently been happening. I'm sorry, feasibility leases.
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, with regard to current feasibility licensing for exploration projects, the only ones that can be currently authorized are the oil and gas licensing, and the Division of Mining, Land, and Water does not have a current authority to do exploration licensing. We only have the current authority to do leasing for projects, renewable energy projects. And again, if the project wants to be larger than 640 acres and closed to multiple use, it would need legislative approval for that.
And last question, because I appreciate
Representative Sadler, follow up.
Ms. Hess, could you give us just your subjective, if you're qualified and safe in doing so, your opinion as to does this bill, what would the effect of this bill likely be? Will we see several renewable energy projects come out of the come to you? Are there any in the horizon you know of? What would be the effect of this bill? do you think?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler. So, yes, the Division of Mining, Land and Waters and the department in general, including our Office of Permitting, large projects and permitting, we have been approached by several different companies looking to do renewable energy projects, but they need that ability to do the feasibility studies first on state land and to evaluate whether or not that state land is conducive for their project, you know, the location that they selected. And so a lot of the companies that came to us, they wanted acreage larger than 640 acres in order to do feasibility studies. And again, that is not an authority or a tool in our toolbox that we currently have to give exploration licensing for renewable energy projects.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, are there any other questions for the bill sponsor on this particular bill, on this particular subject? All right, seeing none, I'd like to thank Representative Groh and Mr. Ebersol for their testimony. I will set an amendment deadline of Thursday, April 4th at 4 o'clock for this bill, and we will now set it aside. Our next committee meeting is Wednesday, April 3rd at 1 o'clock. So we are now adjourned at 2:59 on the button. Thank you, everyone.